Yeah, last week's parsha. All right. So before we get to the halachas of wine, there must be some. Probably Rivka gave Eliezer wine. Torah just doesn't tell us, but they probably did. Anyways, so well, Bezrat Hashem, another time we'll go in depth into this. But what does the Torah tell us about wine in terms of the Chumash itself? What are the stories that we interact with wine? What happens? Well, let's go through it. What are the four times that wine comes up in Chumash?
Noach,
excellent. Noach gets drunk. That was bad. Benot, Lot, they get drunk. They actually leads to children, which actually leads to Mashiach. So it's hard to say it was bad, but generally sleeping with your dad is not approved of. So in that one I would call mixed bag with wine there, but
mixed bag with wine.
Mostly seems to have some negative connotations. Where else do we see wine clearly with a negative connotation?
Nazir.
Interesting. Nazir is a mixed. Wait, hold on. So let's stick with Nazir. So Nazir, the Torah gives us a mitzvah to refrain, not a mitzvah, but if a person wants to refrain from drinking wine, the Torah kind of says you can do that. It's a good thing to do in certain ways, although the Gemara criticizes this person because you're kind of holding yourself back from enjoying Hashem's beautiful world. So Nazir is also, I'd say, a mixed bag, okay? What about stories? Where else is there a story? What? Chana wasn't drunk. They just thought he was drunk. I'm saying in Chumash.
What about Esav?
Something maybe? I don't think Esav got drunk. As far as I remember.
Beis HaMikdash, something
about wine? Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, the Beis HaMikdash is a law specifically where the Kohanim are not supposed to drink wine. And that comes right after a particular story in the Torah.
Lot.
Lot we talked about.
Nadab and Avihu.
Nadab and Avihu. Right? When Nadab and Avihu went into the Kodesh Kodeshim, so Chazal say that they were drunk. How did Chazal know that they were drunk?
Because
the juxtaposition. The very next verse talks about how you're not supposed to go into the temple when you're drunk. So comes Chazal and say, we learned from here that it must be Nadav and Avihu were drunk. In other words, they were perhaps, what Chazal was saying is they were seeking a spiritual high, right, and trying to connect to Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash, the holiest place. But there are times when using external things to get drunk, to get that high, can be dangerous. Okay? So there, clearly Chazal seemed to be warning us about the dangers of wine. There's one more story, yeah?
Noah
we talked about, yes. This one is not explicit in the text, but there are those who explain that the problem was grapes or wine. So, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, right? They ate of fruits. Which fruit did they eat from? We don't know. But according to the Gemara, there's four opinions. I believe Rabbi Meir says it was grapes, right? The other opinions are dates, wheat, or etrog. But according to the Arizal, the Kabbalistic tradition, the true opinion is that it was grapes that Adam and Eve ate from. So in other words, the first sin that man ever had was relating to grapes and wine. And so far, every time we interact with wine in the Torah, it seems like it has a negative connotation. So, right? So we would think that Judaism would be, you know, kind of like, it's okay. Would be kind of like anti-wine. And yet, what does actually Judaism believe about wine?
We can sanctify it.
We can sanctify it, right? We can go back to the Garden of Eden every Friday. Instead of running away from wine, we say in the right context, in the right proportion, in the right way, we can actually use that wine. We're not scared. We're going to use that wine to connect it to Hashem and fix the mistake of Adam and Eve, which according to the Kabbalah is what we're doing every Friday night when we do Kiddush. And every mitzvah that we do basically has wine to milaveh it, right? Even when a baby's born, what's the first thing he drinks?
Wine
right? Sheva brachos, wedding wine. We always have wine at every mitzvah, basically. Even when you bench, we learned about already that there's an idea of having wine at the end of benching to sanctify benching. So it seems surprisingly, perhaps shockingly enough, that while the Torah seems to be say that wine is very dangerous, Chazal are teaching us that there's a middle path, that there's a way to use wine or grape juice to sanctify, to get connected to Hashem and to each other. With that, that's just a little bit of an introduction to the halachot of wine and grape juice in Torah. Okay, so beyond all this mystical stuff that we've been talking about, what's special of wine? Why does wine merit its own special blessing? Right, if I have an orange juice and I freshly squeeze it into the drink that you're drinking before us, what's the bracha you say on it? Shako. But if I have grapes and I freshly squeeze it, what's the bracha you say? It's the only fruit that gets its own blessing. So clearly it's special. So why is it that wine merits its own blessing? What do you guys think? What's unique about wine?
Alcohol.
It has alcohol. Right. Therefore it can kind of loosen you up. And beyond the fact that it has alcohol, what else is wine? It's considered...
red.
Well, it could be red or white. There are other red things like pomegranate juice.
It's one of the seven species of the...
Good. It's one of the seven species, although date juice doesn't get its own bracha, so that can't be the only answer. It's what? It's kadosh, and I would say it's choshev. It's choshev. In the olden days, if you want to make a social gathering, the mainstay, the thing that said that this is like a, you know, a special gathering is if you had wine. Right? Wine makes it more choshev. Even nowadays, you want to go out with a friend and... wine makes it a totally different atmosphere and a different environment. Even though in this year in yeshiva we don't steig wine so hard, but Judaism is trying to teach us to find the balance, to do it in the right proportion, in the right way. So wine's chashiv, and that's why it gets its own special halachot. Okay, so the first halacha in terms of wine is that a wine covers other drinks on the table, right? Just like, what other thing?
Bread.
Just like bread covers all the other food, or most other food. So if you have wine, and then you have orange juice on the table, and you say, Berit Beragafen, do you say a bracha on that orange juice? You do not. You don't say a bracha on that orange juice. So wine covers it. Okay? A lot of people don't know this, but now you know. Now you're in the know. Yeah.
You question today, you say, does that cover for drinks also?
Good question. Hamotzi covers all drinks except for one drink.
What
drink? Wine. Hamotzi covers everything except wine. Okay?
But so if you make hamotzi and then you have like casual table wine,
That's right. You have to say a Berit Beragafen. However, this is important to note. In terms of benching, do you say a Berit al hagafna al pregafna? No, you do not. Benching covers the wine. Benching's on the whole meal. But in terms of the wine gets its own blessing. Yeah? Joe, you had a question? Or that was your question?
No.
Okay. Very good. So wine covers everything. What about grape juice? Does grape juice also cover everything?
Yeah.
Yes. Even though it doesn't have alcohol, since it's a derivative of grapes, it also gets some blessing. Although it's interesting to note that there are some opinions who say that it's better to have wine than grape juice when it comes to Kiddush. Kiddush specifically, it's better to have wine, but Rav Moshe Feinstein and another rabbi say it's fine to have grape juice, lemaisa, so that's what we do at Araita, and that's totally fine. But there are those, my rabbi in the Sephardi, in the Smicha program would always try to have wine as a chumru, because they didn't have grape juice necessarily until relatively recently, so it's hard to know if Chazal meant grape juice when they say Berit Beragafen. And maybe in the Mizbeach would they have had grape juice is unclear. So that's why there's a chumra to have wine dafka at Kiddush. Okay, so wine covers all other drinks.
Well, have you made grape juice? Do you just, like,
I'm not a wine and grape juice. Actually, I know. Anybody, you can look it up on Wikipedia.
It's just grape juice.
I don't know how they, all the pasteurizing and all that.
I don't think it means like they invented grape juice more recently.
It just not.
Like it wasn't used.
Right, what?
Just like, honestly, it wasn't being wine.
Right. True that. Yes.
So I don't think you can use like other things that are possible for Kiddush.
Okay, that's a good question. So wine is always the preferable thing to make for Kiddush, even on Shabbos morning. Really, you're supposed to do it on wine. But in Shabbos morning, you can use vodka, whatever, other alcoholic drinks. Because that's also considered a chashev thing to say Kiddush upon. So that's a little bit of a point of confusion. Oranges is called a chomer medina, which means that you can use it for havdalah, because it's considered a chashev drink. You could use any drink except for water, according to most poskim, for havdalah. But for Kiddush, you're not supposed to. You have to use an alcoholic drink. Okay? So only for havdalah. Or grape juice. Okay? On Friday night, it's actually preferable to say Kiddush on bread. If you have a choice between bread and whiskey, bread beats wine, bread beats vodka. But in Shabbos morning, other alcoholic drinks win. But in general, wine always takes the cake. Wine always is the best thing to do Kiddush. Wine takes the wine. Cool. Okay. So that's just a little bit of Kiddush. Now, there's a mitzvah called Hatov V'Hametiv. Okay? What's Hatov V'Hametiv? Anybody know this halacha? Not so well known, but it's a fun halacha to know, especially in Purim. Whenever a better bottle of wine comes out onto the table, you have a special blessing of Hatov V'Hametiv. Blessed are you, Hashem, who's good and makes it even better. Okay? So anytime you bring out another bottle of wine onto the table, as long as that bottle of wine is considered better than the original bottle of wine, so then you say this blessing of Hatov V'Hametiv.
How do you determine?
Excellent. That's the next question. How do you determine whether it's a better wine or not a better wine? So first of all, there's some who are strict and say that you can only make this blessing if the wine was not on the table originally. If it's like a surprise, it's like, oh, more wine, hey, it's a party, right? Somebody else brings out the next bottle of wine, then you can say the Hatov V'Hametiv. And others say no, as long as it's a better wine. But in general, I'd say it's better to be strict and hide the wine if you want to say this blessing and then bring it out later, okay, in the middle of the meal. What's considered a better wine? So the Pliny Halacha rules that as long as in some way you would consider it a better wine, you can say this bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv. So even if you're bringing out the 20 shekel wine and there's already a 40 shekel wine, but some people like the 20 shekel wine better because it's Moscato or it's sweet or whatever, I don't know, the Pliny Halacha says you can still make Hatov V'Hametiv on that second wine.
Completely
subjective. In other words, as long as there are those who would consider this a better wine, you can say this Hatov V'Hametiv. Certainly if it's more expensive wine being brought out.
So basically you can say it every time.
I don't know. I would say there's got to be a limit. Like if your mom is bringing out disgusting wine, like nobody would say it's better than this. I'm really weird because I like really cheap 14 shekel wine better than like 40. So I don't know if I can make my own Hatov V'Hametiv on that like cheap 14 shekel stuff. But according to the Pliny Halacha, there seems to be reason to even allow that. One second, Mikey. With that said, you should know that not everyone holds of that. The Pliny Halacha is in general one of the things I love about the Pliny Halacha. He's not scared to say that this is what Chazal said, and therefore this is a blessing we should make. There are other rabbis, they say, no, it's suffix, I don't want to say God's name in vain, who knows if it's really considered a better wine, therefore let's never say Hatov V'Hametiv, or only say it without God's name. Pliny Halacha says, no, that's not true, that's what Chazal say, that's what the Shulchan Aruch rules, that's the Halacha, right? Another time, by the way, the Pliny Halacha says something bold, is in terms of the Halachas of Kazayas, okay? Kazayas, a lot of people say, what's a Kazayas? Well, we don't know what a Kazayas is. Maybe our Zayases nowadays are not like the Zayases in the olden days. Who knows what's a Kazayas? Therefore, only if you have, like, you know, this amount of food is it for sure a Kazayas. Because maybe they had super-duper Kazayases. Pliny Halacha says, no. The Kazayas nowadays is like a Zayas in the olden days. Okay, maybe a little bit bigger, but, like, if it looks like a Kazayas, it's a Kazayas. You ever see a Zayas? If it looks like a little bit bigger than an olive, and it feels like an olive, and you estimate then it's kazayasin. You should say an alamechia. In other words, the Torah was not given to angels. The Torah was given to us, and they specifically wanted us to use our seichel and say if this feels like kazayas or then you should say the bracha. In other words, there is allowed to be an element of subjectivity in halacha, and we don't have to be scared to say brachas. Right? Similarly, with beautiful things. If you see a gorgeous mountain and it knocks you out and you're blown away, you say the bracha that we talked about yesterday, Osem Ase Breishis. Don't give me, I don't know if it's objectively beautiful enough. If it's a beautiful mountain and you're blown away, you say the bracha. That was Chazal's intention. Okay, so this is something that the Pini Halacha, Rav Elazar Melamed, is not scared to do, and I think it's awesome. He's making halacha relevant for us. So similarly with a Tova Meit, if you bring her as a wine, you should say it. Okay, Mikey, question.
Two questions about that. Is that with anything, or is it just wine?
Just wine.
Puts out cake.
Oh.
No?
You can definitely say your own blessing just without Hashem's
also,
name.
Like, what about like, a bottle of like, whiskey? You do that or not?
Only wine. Only wine gets a special din of a Tova Meit, which leads to the question, why only wine? Right, why? What does that Tova Meit mean? And why specifically wine and not whiskey or other things? Yeah?
Is Sam? Brandy considered wine?
Is brandy considered wine? I don't
know.
I am not a wine expert at all. I don't know.
What about cognac?
I think cognac? So. Isn't that a type of wine? I think that. I'm not sure. I'm.
It's
that's good.
It's a hard liquor, but it's
ask
a
ask of Judah. He's a maven.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very high alcohol. Question. Potentially very controversial question. From yesterday. Would you make a bracha after seeing a really pretty...
Like, pause the... Oh, no, that's not such a controversial question. We're actually was going to get to that. But give me one... Let me just finish my sentence, then I'll get back to you, okay? So wine, one of the beautiful things about wine is that it gets better with time. It gets better and better and better. It's one of the only drinks or foods which gets better. Cake gets worse with time. Wine and matzah... If you have matzah, it doesn't get better, but it stays the same. But wine gets better with time, and maybe that's why it gets this idea about tovia meitiv. It gets better and better and better. Plus, just when you get extra wine on the table, you're just really happy. So
steak
maybe
and cheese gets better over time.
I mean, like
steak and cheese.
Stinky cheese.
I don't know about stinky cheese. I'm not a maven in stinky.
Other alcoholic beverages get better over time.
Oh yeah. All right, that ruins my theory. What can I say?
Also, in the bottle, does it get better?
What do you mean, like 15-year Glenlivet is like more expensive than 10-year?
All right, fine. I guess we'll have to have another theory as to why Hatovia Metiv specifically is on wine. Maybe because we're fixing the sin of Adam and Eve, and there's nothing better than that. That's the best tov you can imagine. We'll have to leave it at that. But to answer Yakir's question, based on yesterday we brought up that there's a special blessing that you say when you see beautiful people, Shekacha Lo Ba'olamo. Does that apply to women? So while the Pini Halacha is very daring, and he does say that this Halacha does apply even nowadays, unlike other poskim who are scared to say that, if you see a beautiful guy, let's say you see Moshe, and he blows you away, he's got beautiful payas, he's just a beautiful guy, right? So you can actually say the bracha of I think it's Shekacha Lo Ba'olamo on Moshe, because he's really beautiful, because he's a male. But when it comes to cross-gender beautiful things, the Panini Halacha says, Mishum Tzniut, because of Tznius, he recommends against saying that bracha on random Harova girls as a pickup trick. It's not a good idea.
That's such a good pickup.
If you want to say it without God's name, I will tell you after I gave this year, other right guys have done it. And it, yes, and it's worked apparently. But but do not say it. Do not say it with God's name, because the Panini Halacha says not to. Yes. What about your wife? What about your wife? So it's not. You have to genuinely believe that it's out of this world beautiful. Something beautiful like mamish beautiful, not just like she's cute. Hopefully you should feel that way about your wife. And so, yeah, I would say maybe about your wife you could say this bracha. I don't know.
Every time you see her?
No, not every time, because only once every 30 days is all the halachas about beautiful things. So I would assume once every 30 days.
You want to make this bracha once every 30
days? This is not in any svarim. I'm just making this up, but I would assume that if it's your wife, it's not in tznius. But just to be extra strict, I wouldn't say God's name. I would just say the bracha, but don't say what's done. Bracha ta Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, shekacha lo ba'olamo. I think that's the... Shekacha lo ba'olamo. I got to double check that that's right. Nusach? That thus God created in his world. That's it. Okay? Okay, one more bracha to squeeze in. Do we have time? Yeah, we have 4 minutes. This is another weird, controversial bracha. Mishaneh habriut. When you see creatures that are very strange or weird looking... So there's a bracha that Chazal decreed that you say Meshaneh Habriyot, blessed are you Hashem, who makes beautiful, different types of creatures. Contrary to what one might assume, it's not making fun of these people, not at all. It's actually saying that look at the beautiful world you've created, it varies, there's diversity, and even if there's someone who, you know, looks a little different, that's also part of Hashem's plan, that's also part of the beautiful creation. And so even that merits a special blessing. So, for example, if you see someone who's extremely tall, extremely short, who's born with a deformity, missing an arm, missing a leg, not that there was a terrorist and he's missing a leg, but he was born in a certain way. So there's a special blessing of Meshaneh Habriyot. With that said, obviously this has to be done with extreme sensitivity. So you would not go over to a person and be like, hey man, Meshaneh Habriyot. That would be not a nice thing to say. And obviously if anyone would ever get embarrassed, you would not say this. Right, we're talking more. You walk past someone and then, you know, he didn't know, you know, while he's not, there's no chance in a million years that he notices or whatever, you say this blessing. That would be a situation you could say it. Not like while you're staring at him. That would not be appropriate.
What about like an albino alligator?
So we mentioned yesterday that for animals, there is a special blessing.
That's like weird.
Like an especially weird animal. That's a good question. I think it's specifically humans, but I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah.
So if you're like a very weird looking guy, is it a mitzvah to just walk around in public? So they brought us?
Makes sense. I wouldn't say you have to, but you're blessing, you're making more good things happen in the world. Okay.
Can you make a bracha like that so I get like some weird haircut?
No, it has to be something, not something that was man-made. It has to be something that God did. Like, all these blessings are things that God did, not man-made. Okay.
Well, God provides me with the hair that I cut the weird way.
That's true. Okay, two more blessings. Baruch Dayan Emet. Blessed is the true judge. When do we say that blessing of Baruch? After you hear someone dies, and after you hear terrible news, you also can say this blessing of Baruch Dayan Emet. Okay, even with God's name. Baruch Dayan Emet. I think Diana.
It's just Baruch Hashem, no?
Baruch Hashem, Diana, yeah, right? Yeah. Something like that. I have to double check. It's all in the Genie Alocha. That's the easy, safer version, but if you want to do it with God's name, I think you're allowed in certain situations. Again, that's saying that God is the true judge, and that even when bad times happen, it's all from Hashem. So you say that at a Shiva call, when you hear bad news, I'm sorry. When you see a great Tamid Chacham, right, who's like a huge Tamid Chacham, there's a special blessing that you say on him. Like a couple of years ago, the guys went to see Rav Avadi Yosef. Usually in the middle of the year, we go to see a big Tamid Chacham at some point. We go to Bnei Brak, whatever. Not at my house. We go to Bnei Brak, we go to Meir Sharm, we go somewhere to see a big Tzaddik. There's a special blessing that you say on seeing an amazing Tzaddik. And there's also a special blessing that you say on saying a president or a king. There's actually a mitzvah, the Gemara says, to go see a king and to kind of understand what malchus is, so that you can understand what God's malchus is. But a taste of that is to see a king in this world. And I remember when I was in the army, I kind of felt this. When you see like this super duper head up commander, you kind of stand in fear. And you're not allowed to, you're like, you have to stand like this. And to me, that's like a taste of what it means to stand before Hashem. So those are also opportunities to bless Hashem. I have to get back to you with the exact nusach. The general idea, again, of all these blessings, that we're trying to take every experience that we have in life, beautiful, good times, bad times, amazing things, taking all of these peaks of life and trying to connect it to Hashem. Last halacha, I promise we'll end with this. I forgot to mention it. Very important for the, in terms of wine. If someone says Kiddush, Bori Pri HaGafen, and you say Amen, if you drink a little bit of the wine at Kiddush, you do not have to make your own blessing, okay, because you are Yotze. If you do not drink a little bit of that Kiddush, and then you want to drink a little bit of wine, right, in the meal, but you didn't drink when you originally said Kiddush, you have to make your own blessing of Bori Pri HaGafen. Okay, so if you don't drink from that wine, you're not covered. You're covered from Kiddush, but you're not covered in terms of Bori Pri HaGafen. So when you say that Bori Pri HaGafen in the meal, you should say your own Bori Pri HaGafen. And that's, as far as I remember, all the laws that I remember about wine in halacha. All right, guys.